Welcome to About Sex. I'm Angela Skirtu, and joining me today is my husband, Joshua Skirtu.
Hi.
Good to have you.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, so we're with the holidays coming up, I think we were going to talk about gift giving your partner.
For your lover.
What kinds of gifts do you think are good for giving to your partner, Josh?
Well, I know what kinds are bad.
Well, like, okay. Tell me the bad.
I feel like over the years, you know, we kind of got sick and tired of doing all the shopping for it. And we ended up just saying, okay, I want this. Give me this for Christmas. You're going to go buy me a PlayStation.
You almost write the list for each other and just say, go buy this.
I've even ordered my own Christmas gifts.
Yes, that's true.
Because I wanted to make sure you got the right one.
I think, hon, I want to talk about this. It's hard to buy gifts for guys. Like, I'm not... You know, you've been talking about, like, maybe getting more romantic gifts, which I think are sweet. But, like, what is a romantic gift for a guy? Because I think a lot of women don't know what to get men. What do you think?
I don't know. I think romance... What is romance?
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's like trying to be sweet. I mean, your movie-style romance is like candles.
Well, I got one. So, this last Father's Day, you actually did something very romantic.
Okay.
You put little notes all over the house that were just positive things that you loved about me, and I kept finding them everywhere. They were in the bathroom. There was one floating in the toilet.
There was, but it was meant to be on the toilet seat.
But it was even better that way.
Because it's just there laying in there.
There was some on the mirror. There was some, like, I found some, like, a week later. Like,
so it was, maybe it's a sentimental gift. That's what's really
that's
special.
Yeah.
I like, actually, one of my favorite gifts that you got me was... It was about a year after we were married, and he found our vows, all of the old ones. And there's actually a funny story about our vows. I had forgot to print my vows for the wedding, and so I had to rewrite them on these Holiday Inn cards. And so he had collected all the Holiday Inn, like, notepad sheets, and he put his printed vows on there, and then he put pictures, and he made, like, an arranged...
A collage.
A collage of my vows on Holiday Inn notepads and your special one. But it's actually a very sweet... Very romantic gift.
Yeah.
So, okay, so it sounds like something that you put a little bit of time and energy into is romantic.
Maybe. I mean, you put a lot of time and energy into doing the dishes, but I wouldn't call that romantic.
That's true. Well, what's the difference between... Well, I mean, what if the dishes were done in, say, lingerie?
You're good to go then. So that, for ladies, that's definitely one that I recently bought you, lingerie. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good romantic gift.
I think so too.
I think perfumes and jewelry still falls into that because you're buying things that... Here's what I think a good romantic gift for woman or man. You buy things for the other person that you want to see them in or hear them in. You want to... You can't hear them. Sorry.
You could hear them.
Sorry, there was a bing and it distracted me. All of a sudden my brain said, words!
Well,
But no, what I mean is, like... So for a man or a woman, if you give them a gift... And it's like you buy her a nice, like, negligee, and it's something that if you saw her in it would make you feel sexy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think would be a sexy gift, you know, a romantic gift. Or like the perfume, because I like to smell my lady.
Or like a nice romantic sex toy.
Sure. Ye old
Ye
dildo.
Old sex. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
I mean, I think that the point is that you're thinking about them and you're thinking about something that would make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've heard other clients say things like, you know, if you're at the store and you see something that you know they really like you pick up chocolates, it's not even like always connecting it to holidays or birthdays, but it's sometimes just thinking of them
right
outside of those. And like
right.
the other like
day, I bought you flowers.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you came home and bought me flowers.
You needed the flowers that day.
Because,
and I could tell.
And it made me feel sweet.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
It had been a while.
Yeah.
I'm pretty bad about that. But I did it recently.
Well, I've heard this from a lot of my couples that, like, gift giving isn't always, like, on the top of their list. But when it does happen, it's super sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
So what do you think a good romantic gift for a guy would be?
Well, I mean, I've liked giving you, like, really sexy shirts. Like, seeing things
clothing
that you would look
good
in.
But
what were we going to say?
But you don't want to get, like, a Budweiser tank top. Shirt for a
well,
guy.
Well, unless that's important to him.
A wife beater.
A Budweiser wife beater.
Budweiser wife beater. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, you're so romantic. You know my heart.
I'm going to take you down behind the truck rally and get you pregnant.
You already did.
again.
I love it. That's true. Yeah. I think, well, I mean, there could be, I don't know. It's hard to, for me, it's always been hard to get gifts for guys. You know, mm-hmm. like even when it's around that time, I'll be reading magazines and I'm like, what is a good gift? I think guys like electronics.
Yeah.
I think guys like a lot of really expensive things. So I often feel like I don't know what to get you, you know? Like I'll try to get toys because guys like to play. So I always, I always think of a toy for a guy, but I don't know if that's romantic, you know? And I don't mean just sex toys. I mean like an actual toy. Like 1 year I got you a helicopter and I mean, you know, you played with it for a bit, but then it was like,
it was about 20 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
It was the best 20 minutes of my day though. But then I was done with it.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's easier with girls because there's all these commercials that tell you exactly what to get a girl. Yeah. But what if you're a tomboy and you don't really like those kinds of girly gifts? I wonder what kind of a good gift would be for her.
I don't know.
Perhaps a baseball bat.
It's softball, Angela.
She could play baseball if she wants.
Yeah, she could. Yeah.
That's funny. Well, so, I mean, this kind of makes me think of actually the next topic we wanted to talk about, which is just sex after baby.
Which has nothing to do with that.
It doesn't, topic, but it's topic. Still an important topic. So
how did it make you think of that?
Well,
that's
actually,
a great segue.
I think that after kids, I don't know. I think things like you have to do a little more work to kind of keep the romance.
So
and
we're
the
talking
spark
about
going.
Once you have kids.
Okay.
There's that period after where the doctor says no sex, and then there's that 18 years after where there's a new person in your house who's also like, Mom, you can't have sex because you have to be dealing with me for 18 years.
They're like a really crappy roommate because they don't clean up after themselves for the first,
five to six years. They're like a drunk roommate, too, because they're always falling down, throwing up all over themselves,
screaming
for no reason at
all. Asking you to pick them up.
And then laying on the floor telling you that they're tired.
I'm so tired. It's like, why aren't you sleeping, baby? Yeah.
Makes sense.
Well, so yeah, we can talk about that. Right after you have a baby, the doctor always says you're not supposed to have sex for 6 weeks, but that's actually a long time for a couple to not have sex.
Yeah.
And I think that there are different things that couples can do to keep the intimacy going.
Oh, yeah, like what?
Well, like cuddling, kissing, making out, spending time together.
So you still take time to be intimate together, you just can't have sex.
Yeah, just like as one of my favorite doctors says, outer course.
Outer course.
Outer course. Yeah, outer course. You know, you do things that don't involve penetrative sex, but that doesn't mean you can't do, like, touching, kissing, cuddling.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, even toys to some degree, but it is kind of like a bloody,
not for that
like a bloodbath down there.
Let's not get into that. But, yeah, now that I have a wife who had a baby, I know the 6 weeks is there for your own protection.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It really is on both sides, because it needs time to heal. And
yeah, it's like a train wreck. Like a really gross train wreck.
But you still want to keep that intimacy together. And I have to say, it is tough after having a kid keeping that. Even now, after our kid's 2 years old, like, we were trying to be intimate the other day, today actually. Mm-hmm. And guess who was on the baby monitor going,
screaming, you know, which is like, it's like they have a radar. They can tell when you're trying to be sexual. And they're like, I'm going to get right in the middle of this just for you, Dad.
Do you think it's like the bat signal, but it has like a penis on it instead? They're
like,
oh,
warning, you need to cock block.
Warning, they're trying to make a new baby. I got to make sure that doesn't happen.
I wonder. Oh my gosh, that'd be interesting if they're like trying to keep you from having another
that
kid.
That is actually why they say babies have evolved to cry so much, is because they don't want you to have another baby too soon. So they don't want you to be intimate.
Slow you down.
They are intentionally terrible for your sex life.
They're like, are you sure you want to do this again? I mean, you see me and what I've done.
Oh, I do, and no, I don't.
Well, like, I gotta say, like, the couples who do keep their sex life strong are actually planning sex after baby and spending time. Like, they'll
pencil
actually... they literally, like, they'll say, okay,
we've done that.
We're going to set aside a day. We're going to put the kid at the babysitter.
Get
a date night.
Because there's no way to get it any other time. Like,
I know.
Especially in that first year.
Oh, it was so exhausting. Actually, the first 3 months of baby was pretty exhausting too. Like, I remember she would cry every half an hour, and I was just very exhausted by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you remember that she was just crying every half an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she pretty much still cries every half hour.
No, she does not.
No, she does. I was up all night with her like three nights out of the last five, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard for people to go from like being a caretaker to being a sexual person too, because it's all you giving to this kid. And then it's like, oh, I guess I'm a sex person now. Yeah. Or
and I ran it down for you the other day. I pointed out, you know, you go to work all day and then you come home and you go to work, because as soon as you're home, you have to change a diaper. You have to feed the baby.
Get her in the bath.
You have to hold her in the bath and get her all wet and soapy. And then, because you can't even just sit back. You have to.
No, every moment you're on.
Yeah. And then when she's down, now it's the sexy time. No, it's not.
It's hard not to at go all. From diapers
you're
to
immediately going
to
be saying, I need a nap. That's tired. It. You're tired. Everybody's tired. We're all tired.
Yeah, well, and they do say that actually that's commonly the most disliked time of everybody's sex life is right after they have kids. Like, that's across all couples. They all report that's the tough time.
We should keep having kids because it's working out great.
Well, it's a way, the way people kind of trick themselves into it is they're like, well, we have to work at making the next baby. So at least there's going to be a reason to, like, you know, have sex. We have to have a child.
Oh, yeah, because there's no other reason at all to have sex. No, nobody in the world ever has sex unless they're trying to create a life.
Oh, yeah, sex for procreation, right?
Exactly.
I think there's some rules about that.
Yeah.
But it can be pretty tough, you know, and I think that what couples have to do is just spend some time, like, really planning it. And that doesn't mean you literally have to put it, like, on a calendar and say, okay, it's 4 o'clock, let's go now. But it's more like you set aside time to be intimate in some way, and then you spend some time talking to each other and transitioning into sex so it's a little bit easier. Because it is hard to go from literally, I've been a mom and now I'm going to be sexy. And even if it's just saying, hey, how are you doing? Good to see you over there.
Wait, so you don't want to go from changing the diaper and then me walking in and saying, okay, roll over. Time to have it.
No,
you don't.
There is nothing sexy about that.
Honestly, I don't either. Like, I've had those days where I'm like, I just want to be held.
I love that. You just want to be loved.
Yeah, because you get tired. Like, it is a lot of work to have a kid.
I think couples need to understand that that's reasonable too. That sometimes it is okay to just cuddle. If you're tired, fall asleep in each other's arms.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what's crazy? Sometimes it's hard for me to convince a couple to spend an hour cuddling with each other a night.
How dare you suggest that I turn off my cell phone for 60 minutes? What if
it's
I got a text?
Hard.
What if somebody instant messaged me and they were telling me about a new cat video and I wasn't there to see it because you told me to cuddle with my wife for an hour? Ugh.
It's actually quite a chore. Like, people are like, well, but I have work to do, or what if something bad happens?
You know, I don't like that you have to bring your work home. I think that should
That's
be
wrong.
A topic on another show, because, or honestly,
we
should talk
about it
right now, because honestly, that will kill your sex life too. If you are going from, okay, so the list we listed earlier, you got to go to work, then you got to come home, take care of the baby, you got to cook dinner, you got to do all the bathing and all that stuff. And now it's time to do more work.
Yeah, they have to do two or 3 hours after they get home.
We had a friend who was doing that. He was working in more of a management position, and he hated it because he had no time for his kids, no time for his wife.
No time for fun.
No time for anything. And he quit that job, and he got a job paying less, and he's so much happier for it. And that's the reality, is that making more money doesn't make you happy after a certain amount.
Yeah.
You just want to be happy and spend time with your family.
Well, just for a quality of life, I mean, 40 hours is, like, enough. It really is. I don't think people should be working more than 40-hour weeks.
Yeah.
But it feels like companies are forcing people to do more. Like, that is the way of, like, the workforce right now.
The job market over the last 10 years, once we had the whole crash of the stock market in 2008, I believe it was, that really changed the job market. It became an employer's marketplace. It used to be that you as the employee had a lot of power and say, but now, I don't know where it's at right now, but right after that, it was like the employers could do whatever they want, because if you didn't like it, you could leave.
And they seem to give less and less benefits.
Oh, yeah, they cut benefits. Even more recently, they did that after the Obamacare stuff came out. They really slashed them. They found ways around it.
It's hard because I agree with you. I think it's more of an employer's market and a little less of an employee's market. So it's hard for people to have a quality of life. You know, Switzerland recently passed a bill where they changed their work hours to 30 hours a week, 6 hours a day. And I was reading that and thinking to myself, good God, some people are working like 10, 12 hour days. And
That's twice what they're working there.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand.
That's crazy.
How do you go from working to wanting to have sex? I'm exhausted after working a 12-hour day.
I have to say, we were at a point in our life where you were doing that.
I was at the beginning of the business.
When you first started your own business, you had days where you were working 12 hours. And I had to point it out to you because you didn't realize you were even doing it. Because you were just like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to work. And then you're like, I'm going to stay there late. I'm going to get stuff done.
It's
and
hard because when you own a business, you have to wear like 12 hats. And so everything kind of lies with you.
But at least it's fun to wear hats.
No, but I think that that was important. And actually, Josh has a great way of like telling me things. He's usually very sweet about it. He said, Angela, you do better when you work 8-hour days.
Yeah. I made sure to phrase it that way. Recently, there was another one where I was like, it's important for you to have a vacation because I feel like you deserve it and you've been working so hard because she's a workaholic. Let's be honest.
Chronic workaholic.
Like, even tonight, it's Sunday night, 8 p.m., and she's like, let's do a podcast. This is work. This is part of her work.
This is the fun part of my job, though. But no, it's true. I can be a workaholic. And so it's good that I have a husband who, even when he frames things, he's framing it in a nice way. He's not calling me a jerk or like being mean to me.
No, I'm saying this is good for you. I think it's important that you do that. Instead of me saying, you're stressed out and annoying. Why don't you take a vacation?
What's wrong with you? You're an idiot.
Let's not go that far.
Well, people do. I think it's very sweet that the way you come at me is from concern.
The way you come at me, brah.
We just watched this silly movie and it was just a funny movie that had somebody say that.
Okay, let's move on to the next topic before we run out of time because our time limit is random and not important. Our last one, I guess we're going to talk about internet dating. So internet dating, I remember when it first started coming around in the, maybe a little bit in the 90s, but really a lot in the 2000s, early 2000s. And it really feels like it's taken over entirely. And that's really interesting.
I think it's the main form of dating for most people. It's kind of rare for people to meet in person anymore. I mean, they do still do it if they're social and they're in some sort of social network.
Sure, if you randomly ran into somebody. But I think there are goods and bads to it. I think, one, it makes it so that people who are unique in their sexuality, they aren't as mundane as the rest of us, maybe. They have a way to seek out those partners. And the bad thing, I think, is that I think it's making people in general less social.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, like, we have a couple of friends who are single. It used to be what would happen is those friends would say, well, let's go out to the bar. We'll meet people. We'll run into people. We'll dance. We'll have fun. And, hey, if I meet somebody, that's great. Now it's like, I want to meet somebody. I'm going to sit at home, and I'm going to text on my phone all night.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some pros and cons. You know, you can filter what you're looking for, so that's something that's helpful. But I think one of the challenges is you're always going on a blind date. You know, like, think of it. Like, yeah, you talk on the phone and you get to know them a little bit, but it's not the same as, like, if you're in a friend group and you meet somebody and you're like, oh, okay, that person seems cool. You're kind of showing up to this date not knowing a person, and it's a little bit uncomfortable.
People are really good at like making their photos look amazing online.
Yeah.
Because you can take anybody, and if you put the phone at the right angle, it's camera phone, of course.
Yeah.
But you put it at the right angle, you have the lighting right, you can make anybody look halfway decent, really. So it's tough to tell online how good somebody looks, whether you are actually attracted to them. No.
I have some tips for internet dating for my clients when they're doing this.
Do share.
Well, so what I usually tell
people... I need
people...
to know this information,
no,
definitely.
You don't.
Wait, I'm married. Why would I need to know this?
For whenever I die, of course, because you'll have to get into the internet dating biz.
Imminently.
But so anyhow...
It's going to happen sooner than you think.
Shut up, Josh. So here's one of the things.
You're not alone in the house.
First of all, start talking on the phone right away so you can at least see if you're getting like a verbal connection with the person.
So you connect with them online and then
immediately talk to them so that you see if you can talk to each other. But then the next thing is don't talk on the phone for too long. Some people will spend weeks and months talking and then they
meet and then they're like,
oh, you aren't who I thought you were.
Well,
within the first 2 weeks is what I usually tell people.
That also creates a little more pressure because when you're on the phone, you can get comfortable talking to the person. Because there's that initial awkwardness when you're talking to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you get comfortable on the phone. And I've had this before, but before the internet, where I got really comfortable talking to a girl on the phone when I was dating.
Uh-huh.
And we were great. It was fun. And then we met in person.
And it was like awkward or something?
We had been talking for like 2 weeks.
Huh.
Because she lived a little further away from me. So when that happened, I met her in person and it was like, hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going?
It's just
And then
different.
We just stared at our feet for like 5 minutes. And I think we actually talked about the weather.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like, well, I'm going to go now. She's like, yeah, you should go now.
Well, so hold on, there's another tip for this. Okay, so meet within the first 2 weeks. Meet in a public place. But I always tell people to do something active, actually. Oh. Don't meet and have dinner and a movie.
So we should do luge?
Well, sure, if you like luge or go on a hike or go golfing. Do something active so that you are engaged in something. That way you're having fun either way. I mean, you might not want to have firearms on a first date, but it depends on...
We will only drink a little bit.
I don't know. It depends. I mean, you don't know if you trust that person. What if they try to kill you?
There are people who live and die by hunting. Like, they really love it. And that would be a great first date for some people. We have friends who are big hunters.
Maybe a shooting range so you're in a public place. Because, again, I want people in public place so there's no danger involved.
And it's always great to bring somebody you're not sure how good they are with weapons and just hand them a firearm.
Right.
And honestly, it's a bad idea all around.
I
would never give a gun to most people.
No, but if you're doing something active, then there's this goal to the day. And so even if you don't mesh well with them, at least you have something
you're
focused on and you had fun.
You had fun. And I think
that's a big
good.
Job. Yeah. Have fun no matter what.
Your job.
On
your
first
mission,
date,
should
is
you
to
choose
have fun.
To accept it, is to have fun.
It is. And if you have fun, then either way, it was a worthwhile thing to do. And always pick something you'd want to do, regardless.
Did you ever do any internet dating?
I did. I did a lot of internet dating, actually.
Meet any crazies?
Actually, no. I had the same system when I was dating. And so I met people. They just weren't the right person for me. But actually, it was a really good system.
Yeah,
you
didn't meet me on the internet.
I didn't meet you on the internet.
You stalked my mom and sister, and that's how you met me.
I didn't stalk them.
You did.
I was their friend in
sure.
choir.
She didn't know them, and she saw them, and she said, I will be her friend.
I just said, hey, do you want to be my friend? You're an interesting person. I didn't stalk her. But I'm very extroverted, so I will. Like, if somebody's got a good personality, I'll just go up to them and be like, hey, we should be friends. You're cool. I'm cool. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Well, so that's the end of our show.
That's a great ending on randomness.
On a random note, right?
Yeah, random
but I
note.
Hope you can join us next week. For more information, visit www.therapistinst.com.
I'm Joshua Skirtu.
And I'm Angela Skirtu.
Good night.